So we're reading, Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Good morning. Nice to see you all again. A mouse took a stroll through the deep, dark wood. A fox saw the mouse, and the mouse looked good. "Where are you going to, little brown mouse? Come and have lunch in my underground house." "It's terribly kind of you, fox, but no, I am going to have lunch with a Gruffalo." "A Gruffalo? What's a Gruffalo?" "A Gruffalo? Why, didn't you know? He has terrible tusks and terrible claws and terrible teeth in his terrible jaws." "Where are you meeting him?" "Here, by these rocks. And his favourite food is roasted fox." "Roasted fox? I'm off," fox said. "Goodbye, little mouse." And away he sped. This famous children's story, the Gruffalo, teaches us that big, strong animals, like the fox, become very weak and very small when the Gruffalo comes on the scene. And this morning we're going to see a very similar idea in Luke chapter 8. The devil and his demons are like big, scary animals, but when Jesus comes on the scene, they become very weak and very, very small. So in Luke chapter 8, which is on page 1036, Jesus is traveling around from town to town, and verse 1 says that he was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, this is very important. We will return to this shortly. But after teaching the crowds in Galilee, he crosses the lake with his disciples. He calms a storm by his word. And then in verse 26, he arrives on the other side of the lake. So we're going to pick up the narrative again from verse 26 on the following page. And the verse says this: "In the region of Gerasenes," which is across the lake in Galilee, that's where they arrived, "in the region of Gerasenes," which is across the lake from Galilee. Gerasenes was a region formed by 10 cities. The region was in Israel, but it was a place where many Gentile, non-Jew people lived. And in that place, Jesus meets with a man. What do we learn about him? Well, verse 27 says, "When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs." So what we see here is a man tormented by a demon. This demon possessed him. It lived in him and it controlled him. And we're told that he had no clothes. This shows us that the demon affected not only his soul, but his body too. The two things actually that God made and gave to every person by his goodness. And we're told he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. So the demon had driven this man away from society to the place of the dead. Now, this is not the way that people were made to be. They were made for life, and they were made for everlasting life with God and with each other. But something of a reversal has taken place here. In verse 29, we're given more details about this man. The verse says, "For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places." So this man is very strong. He is able to break the chains, and no one can control him. But he himself is under the control of this impure spirit, which seized him many times. The chains couldn't seize him, but the demon could. The demon is stronger than the chains. And this demon drove him to solitary places in the desert. Not for holiday, not for respite, but for torture and for loneliness. Verse 30, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. So his name is Legion. A legion refers to 6,000 soldiers. So his name demonstrates that many, many demons were in him and overpowering him. There are many demons and one at the same time, because behind the activity of all these demons is the devil who entered into this man. We don't know how, but what we can see from the text is firstly the depth of the torture that this man suffered, and secondly that there was no escape, there was no way out. Can you imagine being in his shoes? Now, he didn't have any shoes, did he? But can you imagine being in his place, being tormented by a demon like this? This is not depression. This is not mental illness. This is not dependence on drugs or alcohol. This is demon possession. This is the devil fighting with big, big spiritual powers in and through a person in opposition to God. And we can expect to see these types of things happening in the Gospels, can't we? Because Jesus is on earth and the devil is throwing the kitchen sink at him. This is active, direct rebellion against God and against God's plans. And this can never, ever have a happy ending. Now, sadly for Legion, although he is a strong man, he is controlled and tortured by many demons of the devil, day and night, night and day, for days, for weeks, for months, for years, with no escape, no help, and no hope. But the first thing I'd like to say this morning is that this strong man submits to Jesus. The strong man submits. Verse 27 says the man met with Jesus. Now, you probably heard that Jesus had healed other people from demon possession. We read about this early in Luke in chapter 4. So he's probably come to Jesus as his only hope. But the wonderful thing is this, Jesus has come for this man. Jesus has deliberately left the crowds in Galilee. He has crossed the lake and he came to minister to this one poor man. Isn't that a comfort to know? That Jesus cares for the individual person. In church ministry, there's always a temptation to want to have more numbers of people, to have our buildings full, our meetings packed with people. This isn't necessarily wrong, but we must never ever forget that Jesus loves the individual. And Jesus says later in Luke that there is more rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over the many who do not. And what kind of individual is Jesus interested in? Is he interested in the lovely, the well-educated, the good person? Well, in Legion's case, Jesus loves the sinner. Jesus loves the demon-possessed. Jesus loves the hopeless. Jesus loves the one who causes trouble everywhere he goes. And Jesus doesn't come to judge him. No, no. Jesus comes to love him. What does Legion do when he sees Jesus? Verse 28 says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Now, not everybody in this world recognizes who Jesus is, but this man does. He calls Jesus the Son of the Most High God. And that's exactly what the angel said to Mary about Jesus, that he will be great, that he will be called the Son of the Most High. This demon that was torturing Legion is now begging Jesus not to torture him. Now, if Legion is like the mouse in the Gruffalo, then the demon is a bit like the fox, a much bigger and much more powerful beast. But then Jesus is like the Gruffalo. He is bigger than them all. He is the Son of the Most High. Have a look at verses 31 and 32. They say this. And they beg Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. So the demons are begging Jesus three times in this text. So first in verse 28, they are begging Jesus not to be tortured by him. Second in verse 31, they are begging not to be sent into the abyss. And third in verse 32, they are begging to be sent into the pigs. They are begging Jesus. And verse 33 says, when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. And the demons would rather go into the pigs and go down into the lake and drown rather than be sent into the abyss. What is the abyss? Well, the abyss is eternal condemnation. It is the place reserved for Satan and all his followers. The demons are terrified of it. And they're terrified of Jesus because he is the one who has authority to send them there. But what we have here in Luke chapter 8 is a picture of what Jesus' kingdom will look like in its fullness when he returns. Just as those pigs drowned in the lake, so too will Satan and all his followers. They will drown in the lake of fire, the abyss. All of God's enemies will be defeated. Just as Pharaoh and the Egyptian army were swallowed up by the waters of the Red Sea. This is the destination for all of God's enemies. Yet in the meantime, they are in his hands. They are in his hands. We see this here. Notice how Jesus exercises total authority over the demons in these verses. They only do what Jesus commands, and they only do what he permits. Verses 34 and 36 say this. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. So this strong man, who was out of control, is now submissive to Jesus. He is sitting at Jesus' feet as his disciple. He's dressed. He's in his right mind. He has been completely cured of his demon possession. And the word cured there as well means saved. So what we have here is a total transformation. It is a miracle of God. This man was once out of his mind and under the control of Satan, but now he has a healthy mind, and he is under the salvation and lordship of Jesus. It's an incredible miracle. that shows us something extraordinary about Jesus. Jesus is no ordinary man. He is a saviour and he is a king who has come to proclaim and bring with him the kingdom of God, which is the presence of God with his people. Now, Adam and Eve, back in Genesis chapter 3, at the start of the chapter, they enjoyed the kingdom of God, the presence of God. But then they turned their backs on God and sinned, and they lost the kingdom of God. But Jesus has come back to bring the kingdom of God back to people so that they can enjoy God's presence forever. And the devil, he's all out to try and stop this plan from being fulfilled. But Jesus is stronger. Legion is healed because Jesus is stronger. He is the Son of the Most High who came to bring the kingdom of God to people, and his plans will never, ever fail. This is great news, isn't it? This is wonderful news. That when we put our trust in Jesus, our salvation, our entrance into God's kingdom is totally secure. Not because we are strong, not because our faith is strong, but because he is strong. He is stronger than the devil. He is stronger than all of our sins. He is stronger than the greatest enemy, death. He is a strong, strong Savior. Second point this morning is that the strongest man departs. Legion was a strong man, and the devil was stronger than him, but Jesus is the strongest man in this story, and he is the Son of the Most High. But the sad part to this story is that Jesus is asked to leave. So have a look at verse 37. It says, "Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left." Before their eyes, they've seen an incredible miracle. Satan's demons have been defeated. A man who was a danger to society is now in his right mind. Yet the people asked Jesus to leave. They had fear. And you know, there are two types of fear. There's a healthy fear that draws us to Christ, that we may submit to him as Lord and Savior. But there's another type of fear. There's an unhealthy type of fear that keeps people away from him. And this fear is linked to the love of the world. The people loved money and the money they earned from their pigs more than they loved Jesus. They were more concerned about the pigs going into the water than about this man coming into the kingdom of God. The kingdom that they were most interested in was their own, the world. And so the last words of verse 39 are really sad, aren't they? They say, "He got into the boat and left." They didn't want him. They didn't want his kingdom. So he went. Now, although Jesus is very strong, he never forces his way into people's hearts, does he? He knocks on the door. But it's our responsibility to respond to Jesus by opening the door of our heart and letting him in by faith. But Jesus' departure from Gerasenes was actually a sign of his greater departure to the cross and to the grave. And Luke will write about this thing in the next few chapters. Jesus is going to depart from his people by the cross. And this is absolutely necessary for the kingdom of God to come fully. Because in the kingdom of God, there'll be no more demons. There'll be no more sin, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more suffering. The kingdom of God is a perfect place because God is there and he is fully present with his people forever. But if we are to enter that place, then we need our sins taken away. And that's why Jesus' departure to the cross is so important for us. Without his departure, without his sacrifice on the cross, without his blood being shed for our sins, there will be no entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, it's very hard to get your head around this, how the strongest man, the Son of the Most High, would allow himself, would humble himself to go to the cross. Hard to understand. Yet his humility just shows us his deep, deep love for us. He is very strong, but he is also very, very, very kind. Thirdly and lastly, the saints are sent. So Jesus gets into the boat and leaves, but this is not the end of the story. So have a look at verses 38 and 39, which say that the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. So again, we're seeing here Jesus' authority. Earlier, the man begged Jesus not to torture him, and Jesus consented. And here in verse 38, he is begging Jesus to take him with him, and this time Jesus refuses. And the man listens to Jesus, and he goes home, and Jesus told him to go and tell how much God has done for you. But the man went away, and he told how much Jesus had done for him. So these verses are clearly demonstrating Jesus' identity. He is God. Jesus is God. And Luke is making this crystal clear for us. He wants us to know this. Jesus is God. But why didn't Jesus take the man with him? Well, he sent him to proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus departs, but he leaves this man to go and proclaim. And this is a picture of what happens in the book of Acts. Jesus departs, he ascends to heaven, and he sends the saints, his followers, in the power of the Holy Spirit to all nations to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And that's our mission today if we are Christians. Jesus has sent us into the world with a mission to proclaim the kingdom of God. And what is the message of the kingdom of God? Well, Luke tells us at the end of his book in chapter 24 and verse 47, which says this: "Repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." So the kingdom of God is here. Jesus has brought it, but it's not here yet. It's now, but not yet. Jesus has brought the kingdom to us, but we are going to experience it fully when he returns in glory. And that's why today we live in a time and in a world where the devil is still active, and we are still struggling with sin and sickness and spiritual attacks from the devil. But the world needs to hear that a day is coming when the devil and all of his followers will be thrown into the abyss, and everything will be perfect in the kingdom of God. But entrance into the kingdom of God today is by repentance and forgiveness. So repentance simply means to turn to Jesus by faith as your Lord and Savior. And when we do that, all of our sins that keep us outside of God's kingdom are forgiven forever, meaning that we can access God's presence and we can know God and that we can live with God forever. And this is the message that we are to proclaim to people. And we are to proclaim it by our words and by our lives. Now, our words are really important, aren't they? We mustn't be judgmental. Instead, we should be telling people the truth of the gospel in love, loving people and caring for them, just as Jesus loved and cared for this man. But also our lives are important as well. People are going to see Jesus in us when we, like this man, sit at Jesus' feet as his disciples and learn from him. Jesus has departed to the heavens, but really, he is with us by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. The devil might attack us, but he can never, ever possess us, because believers belong to Jesus, to the one who is stronger than he who is in the world. Let me finish with a story. This summer, I was away in Romania quite a few weeks, and I was on a youth camp in July, and the cook on this youth camp, he was a big, big guy, a strong guy, a guy called Gheorghe. And I don't know, maybe some of you have got kids, maybe you've watched Paddington 2. Paddington Bear ends up in prison, and in the prison there's a big cook. He's a big fierce guy. He's called Knuckles. Really fierce guy. Well, anyway, Gheorghe just reminded me of Knuckles. And he told his story in this camp about how he used to be a criminal. He was a thief. He was a ringleader. He was powerful. He was a feared man in his town in Romania. People would see him walking down the street and they would go on to the other side of the street and walk past and not make any eye contact with him. They would stay well clear of him. Gheorghe was feared amongst the criminals. He was that bad. And he went to France. And in France, he stole and he stole and he became big and he became powerful and he became rich and he became invincible until he ended up in jail. And when he was in jail, he found a copy of the Bible and he read it. And later on, he came to know Jesus personally as his Lord and Savior. So this big, strong man submitted to the one who was much stronger than he, the Lord Jesus Christ. And on camp this July, he was cooking lovely, lovely food. But he was wearing this T-shirt which read, "I belong to Jesus." The strong man in submission to Jesus. And you know, when his partners in crime heard that he'd repented, they said, "That's not possible. A person like you to become a Christian, that's not possible. You are way too bad." And they couldn't believe it. But you know, Jesus is strong enough to submit even the strongest to himself. But not only is he able to do this by his strength, he's also very willing because he is very, very kind. Jesus done an amazing miracle in Luke chapter 8. In healing this man. The miracle is another sign in Luke's gospel that Jesus has come to bring the kingdom of God to his people, to those who repent and trust in him. They are going to experience his kingdom fully when Jesus returns in the future. But now, Jesus has departed to heaven, and the saints are sent to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all nations. And in this task, we are not strong. We are a bit like that little brown mouse in the Gruffalo. But standing behind us and standing in us, in fact, is one much bigger and stronger than the devil and all of his demons put together. And he's much kinder than the Gruffalo as well, with his terrible tusks and terrible claws and terrible teeth in his terrible jaws. Jesus is terribly, terribly kind to sinners. He is the Son of the Most High. He is the one on the throne of David. He reigns over God's people forever, and his kingdom will never, ever end. And the great news is this, that he invites us all to be part of it. And when we accept him and his kingdom, by having him by faith, he will never, ever, ever let us go. Therefore, let us rejoice that we have a strong and kind Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us as well be encouraged to go forth and tell people around us what Jesus has done for us. Knowing that if Jesus can save this man with many demons, he can save anybody. Amen.